to support our local Salvation Army. So on November the 5th this year, that is a couple of weeks away, you can bring your any offerings you wish to give toward that. Just designate it on the memo of your check if that's what you do, or put it on the envelope as just put Salvation Army on there. So I'll give you a little time, prayerfully consider how you might invest in the partnership we have, that all the area churches have with Salvation Army. And there's a whole bunch of information about that, the boxed announcement at the bottom of your bulletin. And today is our shoebox packing party, in case you wonder what all the tables and hidden goodies are underneath those white sheets. So we're going to have a lunch provided, and then as many as can stay for the lunch and do the packing party. We would appreciate that, and we need to know how much food to do. We're going to bring in pizza, so could I have a show of hands? Who's planning on staying? There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, a good dozen, or 13, or 14. Okay. How's that? Wait. Huh? Okay, Luann's going to get that figured out. And so enjoy that time of fellowship together after church. And right now, we want to receive our offering. So let's see, maybe Ray. Oh, oh, Denny's about to get up. That's great. And Ray, you want to come up? And we'll pray over the offering. And I'll meet you in the back. One for you. One, all righty. Amen. Ray, you want to pray?
Sure, I can do that. Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you for this day, and thank you for the chance we just had to worship and praise your name. What a privilege that is, Lord. What a privilege. Mm. And now we thank you for the privilege we have of sharing in your ministry financially, and we just ask that you would pour out your blessing on each one of us and pour out your blessing on this this offering that we're about to give. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Are you praising him all the day long? I hope so. All the day long. Glory, glory to his name. Yes.
When you pray, you notice the corking flaps up. Randy's mom wasn't herself in her day. She's in the emergency room in Hornell. That's why they left.
Amen. All right. Well, we do have a few prayer needs today I want to bring before you. I'd like to ask you to pray for David Palmateer. I went and visited him yesterday in the hospital. He's had a battle with cancer, but he went to the hospital, I think it was the day before yesterday. I'm not certain now. I'm not certain of the timeline, but he had a fever broken out in this awful rash just all over him. He was having a heart arrhythmia, lots of problems. went in to see him and pray with him yesterday. But keep remember him. He seems to be doing well, but he's had a very swollen face. Needs God to move. We want to remember Randy's mom, as Denise has shared. If you, most of you probably never met her mother. She's a sweet, tiny little lady. loves God, but is older and having some issues. So let's remember them today. I do have something of a prayer request in way of a happy and both happy and sad announcement. Our office manager / secretary, Shay Reagan, texted me the other day and said, "May I introduce to you the new person over the U.S. office and fundraising for the Rahema home?" So Shay has moved into this just, as we talked about it later, she said, you know, other jobs have come. She's been working part-time for us at the church, and honestly well below her experience level and pay grade. You know, she's got a training and administrative experience pardon? Yeah, she's got a degree. And other jobs have come, good paying jobs have come, and she's seen them, and she said, "I'd need too much of a heart change." You know, things in the county, things in the region that would pay a lot better, but she said, my heart's not in it. She said, when this came up, she said, "No problem there, my heart is 100% in that." And Shay really labored over that, and she said, "You know, I don't want to let the church down, maybe I could do both." I think she realized pretty quickly that's not going to happen. So very, very excited for her new position. The Rahema home will be blessed to have her in that position. But that means we need a secretary / office manager. I am pretty reluctant to put out an advertisement in the public, as you can guess why. But please be praying. Please be praying. We need somebody that can step into that role. Shay brought an organizational and administrative expertise to that job that was great, but also a creativity and an artistry. God provided somebody to take over for Jonathan Schwant in that Rahema home office. They put Shay there. That means God has somebody for us. But pray, because I really need somebody in that office, and it can't be me. Oh, God help us. God help us all if I'm in the office. You will never find anything in this church again if it's me. It can't happen. Well, Father, we thank you today for your grace that's abundant. We thank you for your love. We sang about it this morning, but Father, sink that truth deep in our hearts, Lord, that you love us. Father, I pray for Dave Palmateer and for his wife Alice, Lord, lots of years in this church. We pray that you would touch Dave, that you would deliver him from whatever allergic reaction he's having, Father, whether it's medication, Father, whatever's happening, we pray that you would touch him and heal his body and deliver him, Father. Help him, strengthen Alice. Lord, we pray for Randy's mom. Father, we pray that you would be with her. Lord, I believe she's had some heart issues in the past, and I pray that you would strengthen her heart. Touch her, Lord. Help her, Father. And Lord, I pray that Randy and Curtis would be able to go and be a strength and a help and a blessing to Randy's mom. Encourage her and help her, Father, we pray. And Lord, you see the need that we have in our own church, in an administrative role. And Father, we pray that you would raise somebody up. God, we pray that you would raise someone up that will be able to step into that role. And Lord, we trust you for it. We know that you are Yahweh Yireh. You have seen this, and you know the need. And so we put it before you, and we thank you. But we thank you for the answer, because we know that you are in control and that you care. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to encourage you in a couple of things. I'm feeling urged by the Lord to do a few different things. I've discovered this church has been in the Wellsville area for, oh my gosh, how many years?
50.
Like 50 some years. I am still, but we're up here now. We used to be in town. We're up here. I am still discovering that people don't know we're here. They don't know there's a church here. And I'm thinking, how is that possible? You know, we used to say, oh, you know, the church, they used to say the church on the hill. And people go, oh, yeah, I know that. Well, I'm meeting people, person after person. They don't know we're here. You know, we're trying to reach people for Christ. You know what? They're not going to find us if they don't know we're here. And so there's a couple of things that we're going to start today. Not today, but shortly. One of them is we're going to begin... We found a really great Christian service, and they will, in our name, send mailings out to every person that moves into our region. Everybody who moves new into our area will get an invitation to the Wellsville Full Gospel Church. And we're going to back it up 6 months back, so we'll catch people that maybe we didn't get. The service is cheap. It's like $40 a month. It's not a lot of money, but for the number of people that we can invite, that we can reach, and new people, they also offer some exposure on social media. How many of you know young people in our country live and die by social media? I don't, but the rest of the world really, really does. I've actually tried to stop social media in my life in some ways. It was too much. But we're going to set up some exposure in that way as well. And I think we're going to have some, as we come into some special events, particularly Christmas time, we're going to put some small banners up at some of the major intersections where you see some signs, just to kind of let people know that we're here. That doesn't mean you don't personally stop inviting people, giving them tracts, sharing your testimony, preaching the gospel to people, but we want to make sure that people know that we're here. And this is not to say, hey, we're here, we're better than all the other churches. No, we're co-laborers with the other churches in the region as well, to reach the area for Christ. But we want people to know we're here. Ouch, that when I started talking to people and I found out they didn't even know we existed, somebody told me, oh yeah, I've lived in Wellsville for like 40 years. I never heard of that place. I was a little ashamed. I thought, wow, I'm sad about that. God help us. So pray about those things, that God would anoint those tools that we want to begin to use. Are there testimonies today? Anybody have something that they want to share? What has God spoken to you? I know there's a few out there. And Ed said this thing is flashing, so it's probably going to die. You know, I try... to so carefully check these things. Well, you're going to have to get real up close and personal with the pastor today if you got a testimony. Come on up, Roxy. Well, I think I just unscrewed the wrong end. I did. So, there you go.
This last Monday I had corrective surgery where they released the nerve in the elbow and in my wrist. I can hold my hand out straight. I can use it, no cramping. There's still some numbness in one part of my hand, but it's only been a week. So I'm just praising God and claiming complete healing to it.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. You haven't had feeling in that hand for how long?
Almost 6 years.
And she said that lots of it's back, just a little here and here. And
right here.
Glory to God. And we were praying. Lots of people were praying for that surgery. Praise God. Anybody else? Denise. It's good to get these testimonies on the recording. That's why we like you to speak into them.
We talk about asking the Lord for opportunities to witness, to be a blessing to people. And, you know, when I remember to pray, and other times I'm just in a hurry, I forget, or I'm too lazy to think about anybody else but myself. And a couple weeks ago, I went to the laundromat, which is rare, but it's a wonderful place because sometimes there's only one person there. And I was washing something that was way too big for... But anyhow, there was a young man there who was doing his laundry, and I was just being a lazy Christian. I hadn't had a great day personally, and I was thinking, oh, I should. And I've prayed before, and since I prayed, God, when you want me to do this and you point somebody out, would you confirm it, that it's not just me? Would you confirm it? And he's done that. And I have to say, since I started this 3 or 4 months ago, it's probably only happened like 3 times, and it's not God, it's me. But anyhow, this young man, and I just didn't. I just did my own thing and didn't talk to him, but on the way out, he was just very nicely folding his laundry, and I said, look at that, doing your laundry and then folding it and separating it so nicely, your mother would be proud of you. And he said, yeah, I work on the road. Basically, he was saying, if I was home, my mom would be doing this. And I just thought, I got out of there, and I said, okay, God, I'm going to pray for him. And I did. I prayed for him several times, and it was mostly out of guilt that I hadn't spoken. And it's like, well, what do you say to him? And I even said, Lord, but I never go to the laundromat, like maybe twice a year. If I run into him again, and I noticed there was a truck out there that was a rental truck. He works on the road. So I stop in. I was going to go someplace else, and they were almost closed to find some dirt for plants at the dollar store. And I see a truck similar to that, and there's a guy sitting in it. And I go in there, and the one person I see is not him. So I said, okay. So I wandered around, and then all of a sudden, I'm checking out, and there's this guy. And I said, hey, you're the guy that was doing your laundry last week. Can you believe that? Can you believe it? So there wasn't any time to, and even then, it's like start up a big conversation. But, and I think he had traded places with another guy. One guy sat in the truck and did their shopping. And so I just was able to grab, I have these $5, it might have been a $10 gift card, to Dunkin' Donuts and a little tracky type thing. And I said, you know, God answered my prayer. I saw you last week, and I said, God, I'd like to see that young man again. And I just handed him this thing, and I said, God loves you. And that was it. But I was so stunned at, I mean, I basically repented of being a lazy Christian that day. And God was just, can you believe that? Can you believe it? It was like a week later, and it wasn't even at the laundromat, it was at the dollar store.
Have you had the Lord give you second chances like that before? I've had people that where I haven't spoken to them, and I'm like, oh, and there they come again.
I think I shared this before. I don't know how many people remember, but I was getting my hair cut, and the girl was really rough. I wanted to witness to her, but she seemed like she was angry. So I was like, oh, I don't know if I should say anything. So, and I really chickened out. So, and I was in a big city like Schenectady, and so there was a lot of people. So I said, well, Lord, help me run by, you know. Help me bump into her again somewhere. Thousands of people, you know. So I went out witnessing with my church group, and I went to her door. I was so shocked. I was like, you're not going to believe this, but I prayed that I would come to your door, and so I gave her the information and everything like that. But, you know, I don't know how that worked out in her life, but I know it showed me that God's faithful, you know. And I also want to say one thing. I have these the invitation thing cards, you know, from the church in my purse, And I try to give them out to cashiers, because you don't have very long to talk to a cashier. But and most of the time I'm not really ready, like I don't have it ready to give to them at the just the right moment. I mean, it's like you have to pay first, and then you have to pack your groceries in like in a split second. Yeah. So if you're not ready, it's like the moment passes, and then it's hard to like do that. So I happened to have the card ready, and I gave it to the young man, and he was like, "Oh, thank you!" And he was like, you know, smiled, said thank you. I'm like, "Yes, I did it," you know. And it made me feel so happy that I was able to do it. And I just feel like the Lord gives us joy, you know, to counteract some of the fear and anxiety that we go through to, you know, put ourselves out there. But afterwards, he does give us the joy. And I've had most people be very happy to get something. And, you know.
Amen.
Yeah.
Most people, we fear the worst when we share the gospel. You go out to share the gospel, and most people just say, "Oh, okay, thank you." You don't get the big that you imagine maybe in your mind. Sister Karen, you were going to share.
Last week, Pastor Dave was speaking about somebody that had a back issue, and he said it was on one side, and I can't remember what else you said. I don't remember. But anyway, it fit me perfectly, so I prayed for that, and my back is healed. Yeah. I also wanted to mention that Pastor Dave and I were talking earlier about asking the Holy Spirit to help you find things around your house that you've lost and you can't find. Well, I lost my car keys almost a year, not my car keys, excuse me. I lost my house keys like almost a year ago. And I had no idea where they were. And I had a hard time finding, getting a key made. I don't think you can get a copy of a copy and have it work. So I tried getting copies and couldn't find them. Anyway, yesterday I was working around my house and I opened my drawer where I have my, winter stuff in, and there are my keys right there. And I'd been praying for a long time to find them, and there they were. I just started laughing. I think that was so funny. And the last thing I wanted to say is the last thing I wanted to say was Pastor Dave was preaching, they were talking this morning about loving yourself and feeling the love of the Lord. And I wanted to mention that two times I had a dream that I was being married to the Lord. And two times I was a bride and I was in white and I couldn't see who I was marrying. It was shadowy. And I prayed about it and the Lord was telling me that he loved me. And I had that dream two times, and I think that's amazing that sometimes he answers your prayer like that.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else have a testimony you want to share? I know our sister Lisa, you shared it was the week before I felt the Lord gave me word that somebody had an issue with their foot or leg or something, and Lisa came up at the end of service, and I hope I get that right. And we prayed, and she said the pain went away, and it went away for a while. But she went home, and you laid hands on your mom for what was a digestive issue, right? And she laid hands on her mom, and her mom was delivered. She took the anointing home with her and laid hands on her mom, and she was better. Glory to God. So, God is so good. He is so faithful. Glory, glory, glory to your name. Thank you, Lord. All right. Well, I want to look into the Word. I'm sorry. Anybody? Going once, going twice. I don't want to miss. There's been such good testimonies this morning. Amen. Let's look into the Word this morning. And I had to
This week I really struggled with God. Sometimes I just struggle with my messages. The Lord made it very clear what he wanted me to share on. And I said, oh God, please don't make me share on that. Please, no. I just said, it was plain. You know, usually the Lord doesn't make it quite that plain, but it was plain. And I prayed the Gethsemane prayer, Lord, to let this pass from me. Nevertheless, I'll submit, but I don't want to. And I said, God, just give me something else. Lord, I don't want to. And you know what I heard from the Lord?
Too bad.
I heard nothing. Nothing. For days. When you have to stand up and preach, that's bad. It's not good. And, you know, God's silence. He's like, well, I told you what to do, and you're going to do that. I'm like, okay. So today, I really fought with God. I'm going to share on giving today, and I did not want to. Lord, I do not want people to think that I just want their money. I was like, God, we're in a church that is a super giving church already. I mean, we have needs come up in the church, and we take an offering in our little tiny congregation. We bring in this huge offering. It's like, God, they don't need to hear that message again. I said, no, you do it. So I'm obeying God today. When you argue with God, you lose. And I always lose, so I should know. And I said, God, I'll do it. But I just wasn't happy about it this morning. Roxanne, when she walked in this morning, she goes, Dave, where's your big ugly smile? I was thinking about this message. Oh, but I thought it would be fun to talk for just a few minutes, at least at first, about a number of myths about Christian giving. And I thought, well, that would be kind of fun. Let's dispel some myths about giving. Because the world has some really skewed ideas about giving, and people in the church have some skewed ideas about giving. So I would like to look at that today. So, oh, I'm supposed to be clicking. I was going to say, Adam, go ahead, and I have the power here. Giving myths. Myth number one, God wants all your money. I am the Lord, and I want all your money. I'm here to tell you today, God does not want your money. God does not need your money. Do you know God does not need your money? He doesn't. What does the scripture say? Psalm 59 and 10. I have no need for a bull from your stall or goats from your pens, for every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns all of it. God does not need that. So why would we have anything in the scripture that talks about giving? God doesn't need us to give. He provides. He is Yahweh, Jehovah Jireh, Yahweh Yireh, the God who sees. He provides. He knows. So why do we have to give anything? Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there is your heart. And our church, we believe in our church that we are a people of free will. God gives us choices. We are not a programmed robot that when we are created, we are automatically created to either be saved or we're created to burn in hell. I'm not a fan of predestination. I believe that we have a choice. And with that choice of being able, because God, what kind of a God of love who loves his creation is going to force us to love him? He wants us to choose to love him. He also wants us to choose to give to him. So when we, And you know the old saying, the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. The way to a person's heart is often through here. Because where your treasure is, that's... See, God is not interested in your money. He's interested in your heart. And if he's got your finances, he's got you. Not that he wants to take everything from you. Not that I want to take everything from you. But God is not interested in your money. He's interested in your heart. What's going on here? Where is your affection? Are you in love with him? What is it that you're really after? He's after our heart. Oh, please go ahead. Nice remote. Number two, we're supposed to give up everything. You know, some people, there was the joke for years, and I'm probably still around, that if you go up to the altar and you commit your life to the Lord, he's going to make you go be a missionary to the worst part of the world. I don't want to go up and commit my life to Christ because he'll make me go to Africa. I don't want to. You know, God expects you to give up everything. Does God expect you to just give up everything? Man, I'm sorry it's a little small. There's just so many slides I wanted to put up here today. And you know me, I always have a million slides. Matthew 19, just then a man came up to Jesus and inquired, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to obtain eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied, "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments." "Which ones?" the man said. Jesus answered, "Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "All these have I kept," said the young man. "What do I still lack?" Jesus told him, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away in sorrow because he had great wealth. Jesus called him to sell everything and follow him. He asked that of the fishermen, didn't he? He said, "Come follow me." They left their nets. They walked away from everything. Is God calling you to do that? Well, maybe. This was a very specific call. These people were asked directly by Jesus. This is not a general word to the body of Christ. It's not. It's not a general word to the body of Christ. So what is it that we're actually supposed to do? Well, we are called to be good stewards. We're called to stewardship. A steward is somebody who's been given a responsibility and is expected to carry it out responsibly. Not everybody is called to sell all your possessions. When I first got saved, I was going to live by faith. I was going to preach the gospel. God was going to provide for me. And so we started, and it worked great for about... Well, No, it worked good for like about 5 months. And then we ran totally out of money, and the landlord's knocking on the door, "Do you have this month's rent?" Well, not quite yet. "Do you have the rest of last month's rent?" Oh, I was a great testimony for the Lord right there, let me tell you. I had nothing. I was not being a responsible steward. Responsibility over what we've been given. It doesn't mean that we're going to just give everything. From your heart you can release everything, but it doesn't mean that we're going to suddenly give everything. 1 Corinthians 6, 1 and 2, stewardship. "Now about the collection for the saints, you are to do as I directed the churches of Galatia. On the first day of every week, each of you should set aside a portion of his income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will be needed." You know, you don't have to take up a bunch of collections and embarrass poor Paul. I know sometimes missionaries will stand up here and they'll have them stand, and then the people will walk up and put the money in their hands or something. The missionaries say it's the most mortifying, horrible thing they've ever experienced in their life. Can you imagine? It would be horrible. So this is talking about stewardship. It's talking about being responsible with what you have and apportioning it in the right way. Remembering that your heart is the goal, and in response, in that responsibility, that's where, how we actually lay up our treasures. We just read verse 21, but 19 says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moth and rust don't destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." In other words, steward what you have, invest in the kingdom of God, but walk uprightly, walk honorably with what God has given you. Move ahead, please. Now, it is required that those who have been given a trust, some of your versions will say it is now required for stewards who have been given a trust must prove faithful. And there's a faithfulness that comes with handling finances in the right way, and it does not always imply giving to the church. It says, if anyone does not provide for his own, especially his own household, he's denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. There are ways to give to the Lord that don't involve giving to the church. When you're a good steward, when you're faithful for what you have, and you apportion it in the way that God wants you to, then we're able to minister in all the ways that we need to the people that need it, especially in our family. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother. This is Jesus speaking in Mark 9. He's criticizing the scribes and Pharisees about another one of their traditions. Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But if you say to his... They say that if a man says to his father and mother, whatever you would have received from me is korban, that was a Jewish tradition where you have your finances, but you dedicate them from your heart to the Lord, and then they're considered holy and you can't use them for anything else, then he is no longer permitted to do anything for his father and mother. Jesus is just saying you're nullifying the word of God. Be responsible. Be responsible with your finances. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to keep away from any brother who leads an undisciplined life. Oh, that could get me into trouble. Sometimes I feel really undisciplined. That is not in keeping with the tradition you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not undisciplined among you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. Instead, in labor and toil, we worked night and day so that we would not be a burden to any of you. So there you can see Paul is just saying, we're going to be a good steward. There's a story of an evangelist. I wish I could remember which college campus it was on. I knew it one time and now I don't remember. But this evangelist came and he preached. They had these meetings at this Christian college, and he was preaching a strong message about giving and investing in the kingdom of God, and you can't outgive God, and if you pour out your finances into the kingdom of God, he's going to return it 100-fold. You're sowing into it. And the students heard that message. They got a hold of it. And they started giving, and they gave, and they gave, and the offerings were incredible, and everybody was rejoicing, and that was really great until about 5 weeks later when tuition bills came due, and guess who didn't have the money to pay their tuition? You see, there's something about taking a truth of the scripture and applying it so generally that it takes it out of context and it puts a burden on people that it should not be. those students needed to pay their bill as well. Yes, give, but understand stewardship. We can finish, I guess. Not that we lack this right, but we wanted to offer ourselves as an example to you to imitate. For even while we were with you, we gave this command, if a man is unwilling to work, you should not eat. Ouch. Yet, we hear that some of you are leading undisciplined lives and accomplishing nothing but being busybodies. We command and urge such people by our Lord Jesus Christ to begin working quietly to earn their own living. But as for you, brothers, do not grow weary in well-doing. I've heard that very end applied into all kinds of things, but it's talking about being a good steward. Don't be weary in being a good steward. Number three, the churches just want your money. Oh, brother, have you heard that from unbelievers? Oh, I go to church, all they want is your money. They're just going to steal your money. Hey, greedy. Well, Luke 8:1-3, soon afterward, Jesus traveled from one town and village to another, preaching and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, as well as some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out. Joanna, the wife of Herod's household manager. So she was a pretty prominent person. The household manager Chusa. Susanna and many others, many other women. These women were ministering to them out of their own means. Jesus is traveling all around, and who's supporting him? These women were following him around and taking care of him. Why? Because Jesus, God in the flesh, come to be on earth, to be the sinless sacrifice for our sins, had to eat. He had to be able to travel. He had to have stuff to carry. He had things to do. There were natural needs in mind. And it said that they provided that out of their own means. They gave it. And one of the reasons that churches ask for money is to keep the lights on. We like to be able to see. We don't want to freeze. We need to have some heat in the building. We're not trying to take money, but mainly because one of the main reason we teach about giving is so that you will be blessed. Oh, brother, go back. No, that was not it. Remember this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And again, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth. The church ministries want you to be blessed. Most of them. Most of them are pretty good guys, pretty good girls, pretty reasonable people. There may be a few people out there that are after your money, but most people want you to be blessed. And they know that if you sow into the kingdom of God, that God's going to bless and reward you. It's the law of sowing and reaping. Let's jump on. I don't want to run out of time. Oh, here's a good one. The more you give, the more you'll get. Ho-ho! That's one. Have you heard that one a bunch? There is a hyper-faith teaching. I call it hyper-faith because I believe in faith, but I don't believe in hyper-faith. And the teaching says, oh, if you just give your money, God is going to bless you in abundance and you'll have, well, yeah. So this older couple went to one of these meetings where this was being preached. You know, if you give, God is going to just pour it out on you. And they heard that message. They got excited. And they went and they got their entire retirement. And they gave it into this ministry. They lost everything. They struggled to find a place to live. Now, is God not being faithful? No. The scripture says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. They bought into a false burden. Oh, that story broke my heart the first time I heard it, but that's one of many There are a lot of stories that go on like that. Dear God, it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be, but it happens. Well, here we go. Well, a man. Now they use this scripture from Malachi, and I'm going to jump right to the end because I really want to get to what I have at the end here. He says, "Test me in this, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out for you blessing without measure. I will rebuke the devourer for you, that it will not destroy the fruits of your land, and the vine in your fields will not fail to produce fruit, says the Lord of hosts." So all this blessing that comes, it says, will a man rob God? But you're robbing me. How are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse. You, the whole nation, yet you, the whole nation are still robbing me. Bring it all into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. And they use that scripture. This scripture is not that to be used that way. This is a scripture about good stewardship. It doesn't say bring your entire life in. It says bring the tithe in. Bring in a tithe. That was the Jewish law. Bring your tenth in, as I've told you in my law, to do. And if you do, I'll bless you. That's all it meant. Jesus said, but love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them, expecting nothing in return. Nothing. In everything I did, Paul says, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. So at the root of that thing, there is an evil, selfish agenda just to give to get. Giving to get. It's just wrong. And yes, there is a law of sowing and reaping. But there's also, let's take the whole Word of God and look at all that it says. Now, you'll notice that this last scripture talked about tithing. If you want to start a fight in a church, just ask somebody, what do you think about tithing? What do you think? Should we tithe? Do we not tithe? Is tithing right? Do we still do that? They did that in the Old Testament. Should we do that in the New Testament? I don't remember. Paul started a whole church fight once. On purpose. Paul was being called into question, and he perceived, he said, that half of them were Pharisees and half were Sadducees. So he said, I'm being called into judgment about the resurrection, knowing that the Pharisees believed it and the Sadducees didn't. And big fight happened. So if you want to start a fight, just talk about tithing. I'm going to play the devil's advocate today. There are lots of people in the church who say, yes, we're supposed to tithe. There are other people that say, no, tithing was the Old Testament. And I never wanted to talk about this in church. So I'm going to just present both sides. And you can figure out what to do yourself. Oh, glory to God. Number one. Come on. Oh, yes. To tithe, I figured I'd guess. I'd take from Shakespeare, to tithe or not to tithe. That is the question. Yes, the scripture commands tithing. That's the first side. I'm not saying that's necessarily true. I just want to. Tithing as a practice, the people who advocate tithing now advocate it because they say tithing preceded the Mosaic Law. It wasn't really part of the law of Moses. It was a principle that God gave. Genesis 14:20, this conglomeration of kings swoops in and ravages the land, and they also take away Abram's nephew Lot. Well, Abram's like, no. So he assembles all of his fighting men, goes down, and gets back everything. God uses him to reclaim everything that they had stolen from all of the other kingdoms in the area. Abram returns it all. And then Melchizedek comes. And if we had time to go and read in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, we'd see Melchizedek is what we call a theophanies, a pre-incarnate visitation of Jesus. But It says, then Abram gave Melchizedek a tenth of everything. If we go on to Genesis 28, I don't want to take time away from our packing party. Jacob, after he sees the ladder and the angels of God ascending and descending, and he calls that place Bethel, then he said, if you will prosper me and bless me and help me, I will give you a tenth of everything. This is way before Moses in the law. Then it was also codified in the law, and there were actually three tithes. If you look into the scriptures, the first was the regular tithe, Leviticus 27:30. Thus, any tithe from the land, whether from the seed of the land or the fruit of the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. In verse 32, every tenth animal from the herd or flock that passes under the shepherd's rod will be holy to the Lord. They were supposed to give a tithe of all of their increase, all of it. But then they had the festival tithes. There were the three main festivals that they were required as Jews to celebrate every year. There was the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. If we had time, we'd go on into Deuteronomy, but I don't think we need to do that. But there were offerings prescribed there. Then we had what they called, the charity tithe. Deuteronomy 14, 28 and 29. At the end of every 3 years, so this is not their regular tithe, at the end of 3 years, bring a tenth of all your produce for that year and lay it up within your gates. Then the Levite, because he has no portion or inheritance among you, and the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow within your gates may come and eat and be satisfied. And the Lord your God will bless you in all the work of your hands. So here we have three different tithes. Scholars argue about whether this is really different applications of just one tithe. I don't think it is. But an Israelite gave way more than 10% of their income. It was probably 15-20% at least of their income, if you want to talk about tithing. And then Jesus mentions, the pro-tithe people would say, Jesus talks about the tithe. Matthew 23:23, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You pay tithes of mint, dill, and cumin, but you have disregarded the weightier matters of the law. Justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. So Jesus is telling them, don't stop tithing. But do the right things too. Don't just tithe your herbs and then cheat people out of their life and their proper justice. Okay, so let's jump on. Oh, please work. Wow, I got to get something else. And then we jump four screens. Great. B, no, the scriptures do not require tithing. Number one, because believers are no longer under the Mosaic covenant. Romans 7, 5 and 6. But now, having died to what bound us, we have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. Galatians 3, 23 through 25. Before this faith came, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law became our guardian to lead us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the guardian of the law. When Jesus affirmed, they would say, the non-tithing people would say, if Jesus affirmed that tithe that we read about in Matthew 23, where he was rebuking the Pharisees, it was before the dawn of the new covenant. He had not sacrificed himself. The new was not here. The fulfillment, as Jesus said, I came to fulfill the law and the prophets, was not yet completed. Number three, nowhere else is tithing mentioned in the New Testament in regard to giving. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 3, we read this already, now about the collection for the saints, you are to do as I directed to the churches of Galatia. On the first day of every week, each of you should set aside a portion of his income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will be needed. So it's not mentioned specifically. So there are two camps. One says we're not under the law. One says Jesus affirmed it because it was not that. You know what? There are some hills that are not worth dying on. there are hills. We could die on the hill that says Jesus is God, that he came and died for our sins, that by his blood we're saved. Yeah, those things we can, but to tithe or not to tithe, don't die on that hill. I'm going to tell you what I do. You don't have to do what I do, but I'll tell you what I do. We start at 10% of our income, and then we give from that. Not because I feel like I'm under the law. It's a good discipline for me. I don't feel like I'm under the law, and I'm not telling you have to do that. I do know that the Scripture says the only things that the Scripture distinctly, well, I shouldn't say the only, but the main things that the Scripture distinctly commands us in are, number one, that we should support and provide for people who preach the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9:14, in the same way the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. We support people who preach the gospel. We support ministries that preach the gospel. We support missionaries who preach the gospel. I'm glad that lots of you support me so I can preach the gospel. The other thing we're commanded to do is to remember the poor. Galatians 2:10, they only asked us to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. Matthew 25:42 and 43, as Jesus separates the sheep from the goats, and the goats, he says, you know, you did not recognize me, for I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. I was naked and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not visit me. So God is most certainly looking for us to have our whole life surrendered. But there's some wisdom to be incorporated in that, understanding that there are some things that we are called to give to, but the main thing is that we're called to hear the voice of God and to obey him in that, and to obey him in what he provides for us, and how that works out for you. That you have to, that is between you and him. And I'm not going to say anything more about it. I hope I never have to preach on this subject again. Father, we thank you. God, we thank you that you give us things, but they're not ours. God, I have a couple cars, and I know that my cars do not belong to me. They belong to you. And yet I have to drive them. I have to take care of them. I have to change the oil. And they get me to work. I need it, but it's not mine. Father, we have houses. We have places we live. But we know that our houses, we have to pay our taxes. We have to pay our rent. But our house is still yours. Father, the things that we have, we want to surrender our lives to you, and yet we need to hear your voice and know, Father, we know that you don't want our money, but lots of other people want our money. God, and if we open our mailbox, there's another thing asking us to support this or to support that. And Father, we need to hear your voice and understand that we don't have to live under guilt, but we can live under grace. And we get to support things. We get to give money and invest in the kingdom of God as you lead us. And that means we get to be partakers in other ministries. Today we're gonna help be partakers of Operation Christmas Child. And some kids in another part of the world are going to get a box of toys that have maybe never heard of Jesus in their entire life. And we get to take part of that. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to invest in your kingdom. Help us to do it wisely, and help us to be a good testimony to the world around us, and help us maybe to have a little better understanding. Father, sometimes we bear some feel guilty with our finances. Help us to have freedom. And Father, we thank you for all of that in Jesus' name. Amen. We are going to get to lunch pretty quickly if you can stay and help us to pack. If you can't, that's okay too. We understand. But if you need prayer today, if you're here for prayer, you heard those testimonies today. God cares about us, our needs, and our bodies. So if you're here today for prayer, someone will be here to pray for you. God bless you.